Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
The book of Judges is an exciting book. I think that there's one verse, and this is repeated more than once in the book of Judges. The Bible says that there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own sight. Ladies and gentlemen, we find a similar situation in our world today, and that is every man does that which is right in his own sight. Every man says, well, I'm going to set my own agenda. I'm going to do whatever I want to do that fits into my pattern and what I am interested in doing. As you and I look at the body of Jesus Christ, I think there are some things that you and I must understand in the book of Judges, that God selected these men to direct His people. The children of Israel had come out of bondage, 400 years in bondage. They had crossed the River Jordan. They had taken the cities of Jericho and of Ai. And Joshua had taken over as leader of the children of Israel. Moses died. Joshua's the leader. Now, following the death of Joshua, then God selected various individuals as leaders, and they are referred to as judges. We studied, you probably don't remember it, but about 2 years ago, we studied the book of Judges, the first few chapters, spent quite a bit of time looking at, for an example, Deborah as one of the judges. We looked at some of these judges and what they were able to accomplish. One of these is a man by the name of Gideon. Now, what I want you to look at tonight, as you look at Judges chapter 6 and chapter 7, Gideon was hiding out. The Bible says that God had allowed the Midianites to oppress them. They had been doing so for 7 years, according to the 6th chapter and the first verse of the book of Judges. The Midianites had been oppressing these Israelites. Now, they were hiding. Now, Gideon and his family were hiding, and they were pressing the wheat where the wine press was. Now, the reason they were doing that is because the Midianites would take everything they did. As a matter of fact, if you'll read in Judges chapter 6, the Midianites would come in, and if they had cattle, they'd take it. If they had wheat, they would take it. And so they had to hide in order to have anything at all. Now, an angel, now let me kind of just put that in quotation marks. Not just an angel, but the text in the 6th chapter of the book of Judges says the angel of the Lord. Now, so many areas that I do not, I'm not a scholar in, and Greek is one of them. But when you read that, if you just read Judges chapter 6 and you read that phrase many times in that first section, you'll find that it's referred to the angel of the Lord. But then, take your Bibles. Let's look at this. Take your Bibles. Turn to the book of Judges, chapter number 6. And when you look at this, let's go down to verse number 21 in Judges 6. And let me read this. Then the angel of the Lord, watch this, put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." Now, there were many who had seen an angel face to face. It was not an angel is a messenger. So God delivered He would use an angel to deliver a message. But here is an exception in this situation. And I think, folks, in Bible study, it's so interesting. You and I get an idea and we say, well, that's the way it is. Go back to the book of Genesis, and we'll not spend any time, but just reference this. And that is when the three angels appeared to Abraham. Three men appeared to Abraham. Now, it's pretty evident, or it seems evident from the text, that one of those men was the Son of God. When you go back or look in the book of Exodus and you come on down and you remember the Bible says, we refer to the quotation marks death angel. That is a misnomer, ladies and gentlemen. There is nothing in the Bible, there's no text in the Bible that says there was a death angel that passed over the Egyptians. The Bible, God said, when I smite the land of Egypt. God passed over the land of Egypt. God is the one. He was not, quotation marks, a death angel, but God Himself. Now, when you come down to the book of Judges, and here we find Gideon, and he says, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face, and his idea was, I'm going to die because I've seen an angel face to face. Do you remember that God allowed Moses to view his back? Because if you look on the face of God, you ought to die. This was Gideon's concept. Now look at the next verse. The Bible says, And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. So the indication seems to be that this was Jesus Himself before the incarnation that appeared to Gideon. Now you can do your own research on that. But the point, the statement that Gideon makes there seems to indicate that was the situation. He approached Gideon. Gideon said, Well, why would you ask me to do it? I'm the least of all my... I mean, I'm poor, I don't have anything, and I'm the least one here. I don't have time tonight, and I'm not going to pursue this in detail, but so many times we have folks who say, I can't do it. I'm not qualified. I'm not this or I'm not that. You see, God uses the talents, and God can multiply the talents of any man who will take that talent and use it in the kingdom of God. He can, look folks, look at Matthew chapter 25. Look at what the Bible says about the five-talent man and the two-talent man. These men went out and they gained more. You and I, and Gideon said, well, I can't do this. The same thing Moses said when God appeared to him in the burning bush. I can't do this. God can take my talent and yours. Now, you and I think about this, that God takes our abilities and our talents, and He multiplies those, and He took those of Gideon's in spite of what Gideon thought, and He multiplied them. Now, Gideon said, I've got a test. We won't read all this. I'm going to put the fleece out. If dew is all around it and the fleece is dry, I'll know you're telling me that you are there. Then he did that and he said, Now don't get mad at me. You know, it's kind of interesting how we think in terms of God. We think sometimes, God must be mad at me. And Gideon said, God, don't get mad at me, but I'm going to try you one more time. He said, Let the dew fall on the fleece, but let it be dry all around that. And if you remember the text, when you read that, he took that fleece and wrung out of the water out of that fleece. So Gideon said, okay, now God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get an army together. He called and had 32,000 men. And so the Lord said, that's too many. I want you to call that down. So you tell everybody that was afraid, you tell them that they can go home. I can just see one of those guys stand there and say, hey, if you don't want to fight battle, you better tell them you're afraid and you can go home. And so he said, tell them, those who are afraid, go home. 22,000 of them went home. The Lord said, there's still too many. He said, I'm going to give them a test and go down to the river and we're going to drink water. And he said, those, who just kind of get down and drink water with their tongue, they get their face down in the water, you tell them to go home. I don't need them. Now those who will get down on their knee and lap up the water with their hand, those are the ones that I want. There were 300 of them who did that. You and I know that they conquered the Midianites with those 300 men. They took their torches. And they took their pitchers and they positioned themselves around the army of the Midianites. I think there were about 10,000 of the Midianites who were out there. Can you imagine? 300. Folks, we have 100 members in this congregation approximately. We live in a community of 8,000. Now that's 8,000 households that we mail to. There are more, I don't mean 8,000 people, but there are 8,000 households in the Lithia Springs community that we send out the Fountain of Life publication, and then house to house to 1,000. We send those out. So you and I must recognize that we are a majority, because if the Lord be for us, who can be against us? So He selected these 300 men. Now, I want to give you four qualities about these 300 men, and then I'm going to give you three too many's. We've got too many people. God said you've got too many people. I'll give you three of them. But first of all, let me give you four qualities about these 300 who were selected. Number one, they were hardy, H-A-R-D-Y. They were hardy men. You know, when you look at these men and you look at the test that was given to them, I can just see these men and I can see their ability, and I can see in this passage of Scripture that they were able to accomplish what God wanted to accomplish. I mean, I can imagine these men as they left that water up, as they kind of scanned around, looked around. A good soldier is going to do that. Remember what the Bible says? That a good soldier does not entangle himself in the affairs of this life. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you and I are going to be a good soldier, then we must put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. You and I must recognize that these men were hardy. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we need men who have the ability, and I use men generically, the Bible does that. We need individuals who are hardy in spirit and who are not tossed about by every doctrine. Men who do not give up. I am amazed at how quickly some folks give up on a project. Well, it's not going to work. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to quit. And it's amazing because they do not have that hardy spirit. Now, let me give you a second thing. Not only were they hardy men, but I conclude from this study, they were hasty men. Let's get on with the job. They surrounded the Midianites. It's so easy, ladies and gentlemen, for us to put things off. I knocked on the guy's door one time and introduced myself. We were doing door knocking. And I knocked on the door and introduced myself. And he said, "Well, I only have a moment." I did not say this to him because it didn't dawn on me until I left his house. And I thought, "Brother, you don't know how true that statement is. You may only have a moment." Folks, we can't sit around and wait for 10 years to go by before something is done in preaching the gospel. Souls are dying and going to hell. We must be hasty in what we're doing. Let me give you a third. Let me give you a third quality. And that quality that I have put on this is the quality of humility. A man must be humble enough to take orders. I would imagine that all 300 of these men had a good way to beat the Midianites. And I can imagine perhaps maybe somebody coming and kind of pigeonholing old Gideon and said, "Gideon, let me tell you how we ought to do this." Gideon said, "Sit down, shut up, be quiet, and listen to what I got to say." You got to know Hebrew to get it like that. We're going to do it the way God has directed us to do it. God said, "Here's what I want you to do." You see, ladies and gentlemen, humble men will listen to the message of the Bible and do what God wants us to do. We will follow His pattern. We will follow His work and not our own design, our own plan. Now, they were hardy men. They were hasty men. They were humble men. Now I'm going to give you another word. They were hardy men. Somebody said, wait a minute. Man, that's one great thing about getting old. You know, you forget and you can tell stories over and over again. You just forget one and tell it again. Hardy? Somebody said, no. Let me spell that for you. The first one was H-A-R-D-Y. This one is H-E-A-R-T-Y. Their heart was in it. Do you lose your passion? You know what Jesus said to the disciples when He sent out the 12 on the limited commission? He said, "You go into a city, and if they will not listen to you, you shake the dust off your feet when you leave." Heart. Is your passion in it? Is your heart in it? I heard the story of the fellow who was a pole vaulter. Boy, let me tell you something. I can't jump over a clothespin, but you take a pole vaulter, those guys can run. And this pole vaulter told his coach, he said, I can't do this. And the coach said, let me tell you how to do it, son. He said, you throw your heart over that pole and your body will follow. You throw your heart over it. So when we throw our heart into the work of the Lord, I want to tell you something. Do you always feel... Did you know somebody said 95% of the things are done by people who don't feel like it? If you and I go back to the book of Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says the fellow that looks at the clouds and judges the clouds, he'll outplant. Do it anyhow. You don't feel good? That's all right. Go do it anyhow. And you see why? But when you begin to put your heart into something, that's your heart, your passion. All right, now my sermon. That's all introduction. Number one, too many. There are too many people who do not care. Too many who do not care. I want you to look at this. When you and I go through the judges, what were they doing? They were hiding out. What does that tell you? It says to me that, let's just go run and hide. We don't care. Now, I thank God again for you, because that's not the situation. You do care, and we do things, and it's evident that we do. But it is so sad that there are many, and they don't care about the lost. When I have a burning fire, I think of Jeremiah, and the Bible says he had a fire in his bones. There are too many who do not care. My friend, I want to ask you a question. Are you interested in the lost? You may not be able to teach personally. Not everybody's going to be the same kind of teacher. I'm not talking about classroom teaching. But ladies and gentlemen, do you and I have a concern for the lost? Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about telling someone that you love, someone you don't have to beat them in the head. But have you ever thought about saying to these individuals, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you every day that you will be saved until you obey the gospel. If it takes me 20 years, I'm going to pray for you. There are those individuals who are not Christians today, and I pray for them. I'm sure you do. Number two, there are too many. Number one, too many don't care. Number two, there are too many people who are afraid. They're afraid. 9,700... in this passage of Scripture, they we're going to get to them, 9,700. But I want you to look at this other figure. 22,000 of them were afraid. Fear. The Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. If God be for us, who can be against us? If we went through all the things that God has done, too many people don't care. Too many are afraid. Now, number three. And that is, too many individuals try to go unprepared. 9,700 of these men they weren't prepared. I mean, they went down. Why were they not prepared? They've been crawling back over here in a cave, threshing their wheat at a wine press. The Midianites are oppressing them. I don't want to get political here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, but you and I, these three things we must keep in our minds in relationship to the country in which we live. If we don't care, if we are afraid, or if you and I just simply do not make the right kinds of preparation, we can find ourselves like the Israelites were and being oppressed by those governments and those religions that are contrary and foreign to what the Bible says. Too many. Too many don't care. Too many are afraid, and too many unprepared. We need to prepare ourselves to do the work of the Lord. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to make that kind of preparation. You need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the cause of Christ.